All right, guys. So today we have a special episode going on. Today we're going to be doing Combat Spotlight, but we're doing it with a K for the combat. We're doing this because we're joined by a special guest, someone I've been looking up to for a while and basically got me into the sport of training, martial arts, whatever, Mr. Brandon Stock.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing, man? Can you put that a little closer?
Sure.
Yeah.
How's that?
Try to do like a fist away.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Fuck yeah. So what's up, man?
Not much. Just enjoying my nice Saturday.
Yeah. So the baby's due anytime soon.
Yeah, she's coming soon, probably next week. Yeah,
when I message you and you're saying like, well, I want to do the show, but it all depends on, you know, if the baby comes or not. I kind of had my fingers crossed that you'd make the show, but at the same time, that's kind of selfish. Like, I want you to be a dad. Like, you're going to be a great dad. But
yeah, on your schedule, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Us two, we told her last week, like, no, not this week. We're not ready. We have to make your room still. Can you come out next week? So she's listening so far.
Yeah. So how do you feel about that? You nervous? You excited?
I'm excited.
A little bit
nervous, but not really. Mostly just excited. Happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone feels a little different, but everyone says it's like one of those things that changes you. Let's like who are the fathers in the UFC now? Donald Cowboy Cerrone,
who's been killing it since he's since his wife's given birth to his kid.
Yeah, and who's the other guy? Just this weekend there was another father. Blah 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 blah. I can't remember his name, but the point is, it seems though having a child just seems to like raise that your skill level and your determination and how like you know, motivated you are for that.
Yeah, it motivates guys like Cerrone. They got more to fight for in a way.
For sure.
I mean, he's undefeated since he's had his kids, so that's cool.
I think that played a factor in Silva's big run there a few years back. Because he always had his kids like ringside and his family.
True. But on the opposite end of this argument, there's some, I don't want to call them selfish, but it is kind of selfish. Like someone like George St. Pierre, he's already like nearing 40.
That's true.
Like, to make it that far in the sport, I guess you really have to, like, be selfish, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he's had some side pieces or whatever you want to call it like that, but, like, he was never, like, a family man. It was more like, let's get the job done. Let's take care of this career now. Life will be later. So, I don't know.
It's a lot of time. It's a selfish sport. You do have to sacrifice a lot of that stuff, and
it's true.
It's not for everybody. You know,
some people get hit in the face and they're like, what the F was that, man?
Yeah.
What was that? Or they don't tap on an arm bar, then they can't go to work the next day. And it's like, well, I need to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Guys need to get to work on Monday. You know, they can't have broken bones and sprained groins or whatever you get, you know, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the price to pay. I haven't stepped in the cage personally, but I like the whole aspect of this, the martial arts lifestyle. I think the very first Fight Quest I ever seen was you. I don't know if you're a main event or not, but when I was in high school, someone had shown me a clip of you knocking someone out with one punch in the third round?
Second round.
Yeah. It was like as soon as it started and you just whipped this overhand right. And that one, I was like, so this is real. This is like. Because in boxing, they'll let them get back up. They give them a chance. In MMA, if you put someone down, it's over.
I remember from that footage shoot, there was no chance of that guy getting back up.
No. Fuck.
Yeah, he was down for a good minute or two. That was out. He was out. But that was like one of the first MMA fights that you were watching, I guess.
I didn't go to it live, but I was a high school student. Someone at they're like, do you know Brandon Stock? I didn't know you yet, but I've heard of you because of wrestling and stuff like that. Because of Pete, and I think it was, I don't want to mix up the names, but I believe it was Gasanity Albany. We were in KSS, and she's like, did you see the fights from the weekend? And I said, no, but she's like, let me show you. She fast-forwarded right to the knockout. I'm like, he just murdered a man. He just, like, you know, I hope this guy is, like, alive. Jesus Christ. But, yeah, that got me hooked.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Because that was...
That was a vicious knockout.
For real, man. What year was that? 2009, 2010?
That was like 2010.
Yeah. Because I know I was still in school. I was just finishing.
Yeah, I remember. I remember how hard I swung that punch.
Yeah, you put all your might into that, man.
I had to throw the overhand right at that guy. He was about 6 foot.
Yeah? Oh, so he had some height advantage
tall,
on you. Yeah.
You know, I figured he was going to be moving and my straight wasn't really going to get through. And I just I seen some guys against. I was watching. Well, I knew who I was up against. I knew he had height.
Yeah.
So I went, did my homework, and I watched fights of shorter guys taking out taller guys. And
yeah.
A lot of them were throwing hooks.
Yeah.
So backstage before that, before I walked out for that one, I just kept practicing my overhand right over and over for about 10 minutes straight.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, so I went in there knowing what I had to do.
And
I got lucky.
There's a lot more footage of like the smaller guys move up in a way to, what's his name? Masvidal fighting for Stephen Thompson. He kind of had the height disadvantage, the reach disadvantage, but he was still able to land that shot. Oh, no. I said Masvidal. I meant Pettis. My bad, dude.
Yeah.
Pettis was a smaller guy. Darren Till had a size. DC beating Stipe Miocic. Mm-hmm. That was a considerable
height
disadvantage. But, yeah, I guess it's really just about how you land that shot, and you're determinist. Fuck, man. I'm sure, like, was he circling, like, towards the side of it? You just seen the opening?
Well, he was coming in with a straight right.
Oh, okay.
He was throwing, like, a jab straight right, and I was throwing the same thing with a hook, but I was faster.
Yeah. Damn, it's been a while.
Yeah.
That
was a long time ago, man.
Are you, you got any plans?
Well,
competitive plans.
Not in my head right now. They bounce around once in a while, and I get back in, and then I take my breaks and whatever, but, you know, right now, I was the only thing that's I've been getting excited about lately is the grappling coming into Fight Quest.
Ooh, okay, good. I'm glad. Good segue into it.
Yeah.
So, do you have that itch to like maybe register for that?
The first thing I thought about when I seen it pop up the other day was that's something I want to do.
Yeah, I think you'd excel in it.
I was thinking about having in town. I kind of tried to get guys to get it going for a couple of years. I brought up the idea a couple of times. And the idea was always there, and they were open to it, but nothing ever happened, so.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard because they were doing another promotion on a different reserve, too. So there's only so many loopholes we could get it going, but for it to happen on this reserve, it's amazing because we have Montreal there, we have Mercier. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be really, I believe it'll be successful, really successful.
I actually think so too, because yeah, we just mentioned in Quebec right now it's illegal unless like you can hold it on either Gunnasadage or here in Gunnawage.
Yeah,
like it's these are the grounds right now to kind of get away with having it done.
Yeah,
and being the only promotion that's doing it in the area, I think you'll attract the people that you normally attract to go to such events like Grappling Industries or what was the other one, SAU, that happens in Ontario. Submission Arts United.
Yeah.
So I think you could attract those guys and get people like Ontario.
Definitely.
The States. Even I noticed guys like from out east, like New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, have been coming like to do fight quests like K1 or MMA.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll get guys that do grappling like from those areas now too.
It seems like Fight Quest has like established their brand now.
Yeah.
With the K1, the MMA, and now the grappling. Do you know if Glenn McKenzie is running that?
Yeah.
I've
only known Glenn a little bit for about a year now. But he runs a jiu-jitsu school on the West Island.
Yeah.
Gracie
Baja?
Yeah. He's got a great school. It looks very successful. A lot of students. And he seems like the kind of guy who like puts his all into something that he's going to do.
For sure, man. And
his school is showing.
Yeah.
So I think he's the best guy for the job to come in to Fight Quest and get this thing going.
For sure.
And I'm really happy that it's him, actually.
Yeah. I actually sent him a personal message, and I'm like, dude, what you're doing is, like fantastic. Like, for the first few episodes of the show, me and Luke were, like, stressing how much we need this because it's, like, it's such a good, like a gateway into other combat sports.
Yeah. It's happening, and it's being done by the right guy.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that.
Is Steph on board, too? Because he's using the Fight Quest brand name.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming even Philippi is involved too.
Yeah, those guys, they find fights for MMA. They have a lot of contacts. They know all the fighters.
Yeah.
And Glenn is more into jiu-jitsu scene than the MMA guys. So,
yeah.
You know, that's his job. He's probably going to go out and organize all the jiu-jitsu matches, which are going to take place, I think, the first one for sure, during the Fight Quest MMA night. So maybe like the first night, the first match of the night was going to be a grappling match. Or Ooh. Or maybe, you know, the announcer is going to come out and say, listen, guys.
Before the intermission.
This is Fight Quest. And during the Fight Quest, we're going to have a jiu-jitsu tournament, a four-man tournament. It's one round, six-minute rounds. I don't know. It's ADCC rules.
Oh, yeah?
So I guess...
A lot of takedowns then.
You get points for a takedown. You get points for passing guard.
Points sweeps, for control.
Yeah, points for a mount and a back take.
No pulling guard, though, which, you know, thank God.
I don't know about heel hooks. I don't know if heel hooks are going to be legal. That is a big X factor
for
a lot of guys, because...
Probably if they're blue belt or higher. That's the only thing I could see. Or it's true, you never know if they're only wrestlers or... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we see...
It's on an amateur level, it's true. They could be regulated that there's no heel hooks.
We've seen how effective heel hooks are nowadays with these guys that come out that know how to use them well. They train them a lot against guys who don't really train them much at all. Everyone knows how to do a heel hook and whatever, but getting into the position, holding the position, changing the positions from offense to defense is something that, you know, you have to spend a lot of time on. And if you're not, and you're going against somebody who is, you're going to be in trouble. And it doesn't matter.
It's so true.
How good your jiu-jitsu is sometimes. Like, we have a guy at our gym who goes to a couple different places, and he's really fallen in love with heel hooks and everything. Local Ethan Lazar,
Ethan, yeah,
and his heel hooks are nasty, and his knee bars are nasty, and I've been doing jiu-jitsu longer than him, and he comes in sometimes and he surprises me with a lot of his new stuff.
Yeah,
and there's a couple guys from TriStar who come train in town now, and at TriStar they're very big on their heel hooks too, with Danaher and Zahabi being friends and training partners.
They have the affiliation.
So
there.
Yeah, like it starts off with John Danaher and it goes down the line, and we got, you know, if you come train in town, you can learn it from Ethan, who's excelling. He's
just won gold in blue belt gi, and then he won silver in advanced no gi.
Yeah, he's bringing home a medal like every 2 months nowadays.
Yeah. The dude is just, oh my God.
He's doing the right stuff. He's training all the time and he's competing all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He lives a healthy lifestyle.
No, he's doing the right stuff. And you see his levels just progressing so fast.
Exactly.
It's really cool.
He kind of credits it to like kind of his wrestling base. Because he said when he first came to jiu-jitsu, he kind of knew how to posture right. But like, obviously, you have to have natural talent to pick it up as quick as him.
Yeah. Well, he's good at everything.
He's got the shit in him, like, for jiu-jitsu. Yeah. He's got the leg size, the arm reach, and everything,
He's built for it.
He is built for it, yeah. The flexibility,
yeah.
Plus his mind, too.
And the best thing about it is he doesn't look like the kind of guy that will mess up anybody. I seen him in the pharmacy the other day, and he's got
his job, yeah. He works at a pharmacy.
He's got his collar and his glasses on, and he looks like a nice, sweet kid.
Yeah, but like, he is a nice, sweet kid.
Choking people the whole time he's working with.
He is a nice, sweet kid. But not on the mats. He's a very vicious, aggressive competitor.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God. Did you see his calf slice he got on in his gi match?
I felt that before.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah, I've seen that. It was nice.
Yeah.
It's not nice.
He shows me videos of him finishing people in competitions, and I just, like, I feel for the guy that lost. I'm like, ooh, I felt that before. Yeah. Kind of like when Pierre got that the rear naked. Levy was calling me over for some sparring rounds, and we're doing some Shark Tank rounds, but Pierre was really pushing himself. I think he said, I'm finishing him right now. He double-legged me and just instantly, like, clamped my shoulder, rear naked choke. He put it on me. So when I watched it, I wasn't like, I'll feel for the opponent, but I was so freaking elated for, like, Pierre, because it was like, I seen him drill it. I seen the years he's been putting into it. You know what I mean? So,
you know what it feels like?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pierre will do that to us sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll say, all right, this is enough now. He'll just monster takedown and go for your neck right away.
Yeah.
He's a strong guy.
And then I had to do some MMA rounds with him too with the small gloves. I'm used to the 16-ounce gloves because, like, blocking is, like, it's a lot more easier than with the smaller gloves because, like, your hands could just, like, find their way into your cheek or your jaw, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, so one of the first times I did some MMA sparring rounds with Pierre, it was so weird because you're kind of tentative about striking, because if you miss, you're probably going to get hit a lot easier than with the 16-ounce boxing gloves. So it's a pretty big difference. What are the size gloves for Fight Quest?
Now they're about 6 ounce.
6 ounce? Okay.
6 to 8 ounce. It's an MMA style glove now. It's pretty big for an MMA glove, but it's a lot better than what they used to have. It used to be about a 12 ounce boxing glove.
Jeez.
14 ounce boxing glove, but with the fingers cut out. So you can grab your opponent's wrist, like you had control of your hands. It wasn't like a normal boxing glove. It was modified.
But were eye pokes still susceptible?
Never. You never? There was never any eye pokes in Fight Quest when they had the big gloves. You could have, but you have to be like a really bad slap finger out because there was a lot of padding around your fingers. People thought, oh, you guys must have a really hard time wrestling and grappling with those boxing gloves on. I'm like, well, no, you can have your grip. Your fingers are out. You just can't see it when you're in the crowd.
Yeah. With the gear on and trying to do like MMA rounds, it really changes everything. Like, I'm not the best at jiu-jitsu. I'm like mediocre, if anything. But like, if I'm grappling with shin guards on, it's almost like my guard has to just like stay closed. Because trying to like throw up an armbar or anything like that, mm-hmm. Oh my god, it is really hard. It's just like
it all depends what kind of shin guards you're wearing. If you're wearing like those thick Hayabusa ones with the straps, it's going to be really hard to maneuver. Unless you're using those like slip-ons, I find that's not too hard.
Yeah, that's basically like a rash guard, but for
that's what they use in Fight Quest, right? They use the slip-on rash guards.
The smallest shin guards you can, the one that hurt the most.
Yeah. I've seen Shane brutally giving
the smallest one you can find that'll pass, really. That's what we use. And the shin guards were never a problem for me. The big gloves were. A lot of times guys would be holding my glove.
Yeah.
And I'd trap my arms. You would see me trying to pull my hand out, looking at the ref like, yo, he's got my glove for sure.
I remember that in your fight in Mercia when you had the guy mounted, you were trying to do the arm bar and you could see like your glove was getting caught and you were really trying.
I had his back. Yeah. And I was going for a rear naked choke and he just clamped down his arm on my glove. And I was trying to pull it out so I can punch him and I couldn't get it out. It was stuck and it was something that would never happen if I wasn't wearing gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, but that's just, whatever, work around it. You know, don't worry about it too much. That's not something you should be thinking
technically,
about.
Technically, you still have the other hand free. So.
Yeah, you know, that's what I did. I punched him with my other hand that was free. And
you're like Uriah Faber.
Yeah, you just got to be a little patient. But, you know, like if I would have got that choke, you know, guys would have got their chokes a lot of times with no gloves on in Fight Quest Amateur back in the day. It's just something you had to work around. It was cool.
That was the one that you finished with an armbar?
Yeah, I won by armbar that time.
Was that your only 45 fight?
That was at about 155 to 160. We had an agreement. We were coming around there.
Yeah. That was always kind of your weight class, huh?
Yeah, I did. I started off at 160, and then I went to 155, 150. I worked my way down to 145.
Oh, you did make it to 45.
I weighed in at 145 once.
Damn, were you cut?
Yeah, I was lean.
Yeah,
I was really lean.
Nice.
It was like my third fight in 6 months.
Holy crap. Donald Cerrone?
I had a 3-fight winning streak.
Brandon Cerrone up in there?
In 2010. That was...
That must have been like you were up there, man. Like you must have been elevated as hell.
Oh yeah, that was a fun year.
Yeah.
I had a great time fighting and training and enjoying my summer at the same time, you know. And
I want to chase that so bad, but there's just variables in the way.
Yeah. First of all, it's a good feeling.
The coach has to be in agreement. But, I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to sound like some kind of poser. But
usually, as we get older, personal life, work, all that other stuff comes in.
Well, when you put so much into a training camp and into fighting, and you get that victory, it makes it so much better. It's so rewarding.
It is, yeah.
And it's a big deal. It's like, you know, you can go out on Sunday and win a basketball game and everybody kind of forgot about it by Tuesday, right?
And it's a team sport too.
Yeah.
I kind of like the feel, like, even in like video games like Call of Duty, I'll play free for all because I like doing things on my own. Mm-hmm. But when there's a team and it says, oh, victory, did I really get the victory? I mean, kind of like 30 other people got it. Same thing with like sport teams, which is why I kind of, like, I grew up skateboarding, which is kind of like a individual sport. And then, you know, seeing MMA and all that, that's kind of, well, besides a team that are helping you prepare, it's still an individual sport because you're locked in the cage by yourself with a ref. So I've always been drawn to more like individual kind of sports like that. But yeah, I want to talk more about the FyQuest grappling, actually.
Okay.
Because this is like a pretty big deal, actually. This is something that me and Luke have been trying to like advocate for a while now, actually.
Absolutely.
So you're interested, right?
Absolutely.
Because Glenn made a post. He's like, just message me. I think he's going to do like levels where there's like... you said it was Abu Dhabi rules?
Yeah, ADCC rules.
ADCC rules.
Mm.
So that I just, you know, I know that this point system that they use.
Yeah.
So for sure it's going to be by weight class.
I'm just not
probably
sure about
belt level too.
It's a tough, that's tough rules because Abu Dhabi, they really, it's like a lot of wrestling in there.
Actually, if it was IBJFF rules, then yeah, it'd probably be weight class and belt class. But yeah, if it's ADCC, then yeah, it might be a lot more open.
Because I remember Marcelo Garcia tried an open weight tournament at one point.
Well, you might have guys that are really strong in wrestling that do jiu-jitsu and come in and get those takedowns and get those guard passes for points and maybe hold on a little bit and wait the time out and get those wins. But that's up to the jiu-jitsu guys who are comfortable, you know, on their back to do something about it.
Yeah.
And that's the old school battle in ADCC in Abu Dhabi was like, you know, a couple American wrestlers would come over and they'd go battle with these Brazilian black belts and sometimes the wrestlers would win.
Yeah,
you know,
for real.
Like everyone knows Mark Kerr.
Mark Kerr.
He won a few.
Mark Schultz beat Gary Goodridge. Chael Sonnen beat, was it Cyborg? No. But he got a win in Abu Dhabi by basically out-wrestling him.
Yeah. Matt Hughes, Tito Ortiz, Chael Sonnen. Mark Kerr, these guys were going over to Abu Dhabi to compete in this tournament back in the day, and they were getting armbarred. They were doing good though. They won some matches. This is what's going to be happening in Ganawagi now. We're going to have that old school kind of wrestler versus jiu-jitsu battle, maybe.
You know? Oh my god, I'm excited.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And it's a tournament, and I think it's a one night tournament.
So there's going to be like a podium and everything for that too, then.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm just assuming the tournament structure for now.
I'm assuming too. It might be something a little close to MTL Invitational that used to happen like a few years back, where they had guys like Ivan Menjivar like coming in and competing and.
Kind of hope not.
There's gonna be, I'm sure there's gonna be blue belt level tournaments. There's gonna be purple to black belt level tournaments, or maybe even. A couple of maybe white belts. I don't know. But what's interesting is Grappling Industries used to have their tournaments. They ran a regular round-robin tournament.
Yeah. I've entered in one before.
And at every event, they'd have a couple of super fights.
Yeah.
And they'd have guys like Cajun Johnson.
And Wagner Rocha. And I think even Gordon Ryan at one point.
Aubin Mercier.
Really?
He was in a super fight in Grappling Industries in Montreal.
Oh my god.
So, and these matches are very fast-paced, they're very technical.
Yeah, man.
And they're exciting.
I've seen some crazy stuff, you know? Too, like in the crowd. Yeah. One guy was choked out, but the ref was like kind of behind him. And I swear, I was the only one yelling, he's out, he's out, he's out, he's out. So the ref intervened, and everyone around me was like, thank god you noticed. And everyone's like, well... You know, ref wasn't doing his job.
Yeah.
But it was like, because I mean, a choke can be held for a couple of seconds, but any longer than like, you know,
usually
45 to a minute. Oh, it's 5 minutes?
I thought it was 1 minute. Usually after a choke, after 5 seconds, a guy's going out.
No, I know by going out, but I mean completely causing damage.
Yeah.
Because it did take a while and I was really like...
Yeah, I think it's after like 20 seconds even.
Yeah, so see, that's not long at all.
Yeah.
I was basically yelling, and then Ethan caught on too, and he's like, he's out, he's out, he's out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think after 20 seconds holding a choke, you can start to do some like real damage to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, refs can only do so much. They have eyes in the back of their head, and at a tournament especially, you know, it could be accidents can happen.
Yeah.
Unless you're that one ref in that video who's like right up against the mat, like...
I never choked anybody out with a rear naked choke before, so I don't know what it feels like when someone goes limp. I'm sure I would notice.
It's fucking scary, dude.
Oh, you've done it?
Shh, I'm not going to name who it was.
Well, I mean...
It wasn't in a tournament, though. It was in class, so it shouldn't have happened to begin with, but it was because I was trying a new move, and I'm just going to say the person
totally did not see it coming.
I tried a different variation of a bow and arrow, and he's dealt with so many bow and arrows in his life, but I hit it from a different way, and when I heard the sound, we're training. I should have let go, but I wanted to see if it was effective enough. So I just pulled a little harder, and the next thing I know, I heard snoring, and I'm like, oh my god, and like I tried waking him up, and then I'm just gonna stop right there. But the feeling, like I had to do another round, and I'm like, I don't want to go hard. I don't want to do anything. Like I was kind of like a little freaked out about it. But it is what it is. That's part of the sport. Like,
that's why you tap.
Yeah,
that's why you tap. But
that's,
I mean,
what we call it, tap out.
Yeah, tap and respect the tap.
I can't speak for him, and I don't want to speak illy of him, but I'm pretty sure he knew the defense for it, but I had tried a different variation, so maybe it was a little new to him.
When you said class, I thought you were going to say high school at first, like you choked somebody out in your high school class.
Oh, no. I don't condone fighting in school or in public or anything like that, but yeah, I've gotten to my fair share of school fights and stuff like that. I mean, why do you think I'm drawn to the gym?
It happens.
I've always been. I mean, why do you think all of us are drawn to the gym? We're all into that.
And man, high school grounds are a battlefield. They're a place for stuff like that. Like, not necessarily saying it's like an absolute place for that, but it comes with it. Yeah. It comes with the baggage. You know what I mean?
I went to Lakeside for
teenagers, man. They're so dramatic and full of hormones. You know, it's bound to happen. Conflict between them.
For real. But yeah.
Try not to mess with the kids that know jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
You
should be okay.
Don't mess with anyone with cauliflower ear, basically. When I wear my hat, I personally try to cover mine, but it is what it is, and I'm going to live with it. And I don't even have a bad, Gary Tonin. Yeah. Those are hands down the nastiest ears I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And either him or Randy Couture have like really bad cauliflower ears.
I think John Jones' ears are pretty disgusting too.
I think Randy's cauliflower has cauliflower.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I know. For real. Oh my god. Do you have cauliflower, or you treated your ears?
I got a little bit.
You have those bumps where like you
cut. Mine's cute. It's not that ugly.
It's cute, yeah, yeah. A good way to put it. Because this is hideous.
I had two really big cauliflower ears. No, I didn't have to get them taken care of at the hospital. They just went away.
That's what Xander said about his.
Mine just went away. I got lucky. I was gonna keep it though, but it wasn't bad.
Because the thing about this was that it got so swollen. I think I put a picture on the Combat Spotlight page. It got so swollen, and you're supposed to drain it with a syringe. But I went to the clinic in Chattagi, and it was a new nurse. So what she did is she used a. What is it called? A scalpel? She made an incision, mm-hmm. and she drained it that way.
Wow.
And that's why it looks kind of deformed.
See, that's what I didn't want, because when I'm saying I had it, mine was a big one.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of my ear, and it was smooth, though. I figured if I got it, because I seen people get it done, and then after that, it looks all messed up and ugly. So, and then if you have it done once, if it happens, you get drained, you're more likely to get it again if you keep training and competing. And I was, so I'm like, you don't want to keep going to the hospital every month, right?
Yeah. So when I finally got this taken care of, it had already got hard,
mm-hmm.
like it hardened. So I just figured, let's just do it. Like the damage is done. I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
So it is. I mean, what it is.
They sell headgear. You don't have to deal with this. You can.
But apparently Ethan told me he had to go to like the heart of the city to find it.
There's a place near Beaconsfield.
Near Beaconsfield?
Yeah, I know a place. They sell wrestling gear.
Can you send me a link on
sure,
Facebook?
Yeah, okay. Sport Olympia. It's a good place.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what else did I want to talk about?
Actually, I want to talk about more
grappling.
Actually, I want to drop a little bit of tidbit. Anyone see that Wilder re-signed with Tyson Fury?
It's official.
It's official.
Okay. Nice. First of all, How did Fury survive that?
I think we talk about this every other two episodes. That like, yeah, it's still miraculously how Fury survived that hit.
I rewatched the 8 count. I know it's a 10 count, but I rewatched it. It was about 12 seconds. It was not as long as Drew's knockdown, but it was pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think a ref should have a stopwatch. I think as soon as you notice that the fighter falls on the ground, hit the stopwatch, give them a real 10 seconds, because you're risking a lot of damage if you let a fighter up after, like, so much time after being concussed. I mean, how many times have you seen people get up and then they just get brutalized against the ropes or something like that, you know?
Well, the ref makes the decision. He looks at the eyes. He sees how they get up. He moves their gloves around. And maybe, you know, it was the end of the fight. He already went this long. You know, he seems fine to keep going. Sometimes it's like, why not let them keep going? If that would have happened, okay, so a fight later, let's just say now, Deontay Wilder's last fight last week.
Against Brazil.
I think it was a second round. Second or third round, he hits the guy with a nuke.
Ooh, you heard it. You heard it through the TV.
And that guy could have... That guy was still on the ground the same way his last opponent was. And he started to get up, but the ref walked in there and called it off immediately.
Good.
Right? Yeah, good. Because it was the beginning of the fight. He was already getting his butt kicked.
Yeah.
You know, so there's differences, right?
Yeah.
The other one, it was a war. It was a close fight. It was the end of the fight. You know what? Okay, I'm going to give him an extra second or two. Let's get these fans and everybody to the extra round and a half.
And it worked out.
It worked out perfectly.
It worked out, yeah. That just brought up Tyson's stock up.
But if Tyson would have got up and knocked Wilder out cold, then there would have been a lot of controversy.
I'd consider one of the greatest boxers around. He'd have to fight Anthony Joshua for sure after that. So I think the winner of this rematch will get Joshua. Didn't Joshua fight last night?
I don't recall. If not, he's probably fighting tonight.
Yeah, okay.
Because it is Saturday night. Usually boxing doesn't take place on Fridays.
Because the UFC was early today, so I made my bets last night. And when I was looking at the boxing, I thought it was yesterday, but it's today. So I'm going to bet on that. I think Joshua knocks him out in the early rounds. Probably like... Well, actually, if you think about it, he kind of puts guys away a little later. Remember the Klitschko fight? He took damage, but then he was eventually... I can't even talk about that. It's so hard to predict rounds. I could predict one fighter beating another fighter. I could predict sometimes how they win, but I can never predict the round. That is just something Conor McGregor can do.
At this point, sometimes it all depends on the opponent.
Yeah. If it's like a... Like a high level grappler going against a newbie, like Verdum when he fought, what's his name? Was it Justin Willis? Wilt Harris? Mm-hmm. He submitted him in like 10 seconds. It was like nothing. Or when Jacare fought Chris Camozzi, everyone knew he was going to get submitted. Mm-hmm. And they made that fight like twice, dude.
Or Crone Gracie versus Bruce Leroy.
I want to agree with you, but I did feel that there was a little bit of a stylistic matchup going on there because Bruce Leroy's. Lengthy,
taller striker,
tall, and he's very unorthodox. But Crone did the old Hicks and Gracie style. Mm-hmm. He kicked his leg, body locked him, took his back,
tripped him.
Yeah, body lock and a trip.
It's just that's just classic, but, classic. You
know, how strong right is there. That guy's body lock and trip? Right.
He's been doing it since he was a kid. You know what it hurt too? He actually didn't like jiu-jitsu for a while because apparently it was like a chore. So I imagine that their family forces their kids.
I can imagine in a family like that, yeah. They really must like
hockey
push them. They must push them. Yeah, they must push them through it first, and then, you know, if they get probably to their mid-20s, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, like, me, like, I kind of wish I was on a team sport, but I think it would have changed everything. Like, I did skateboarding for a couple of years, and then I had nothing for a while, like really nothing. But then.
That's how I felt with football. Football ended, right? And then because like I didn't want to go pro. I played youth football, and after I turned 19, that was it. Like, there's no more leagues. Like, unless you want to go pro,
you got to go pro, and then you got to put the years into getting good and stuff like that.
So, especially with my size, tutor, like in my position that I played, like I was dwarfed like easily.
I know,
but like I was only like easily like 180 pounds, or like my position, you want guys that are like 220 and. And some of the guys I was playing with were that big.
Well, that's what the game is really for, those oversized dudes. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to start seeing more of those guys in the UFC now. Like Greg Hardy.
Yeah, Greg Hardy's the Eric one that Anders, made the transition. Retired NFLer.
Eric Anders, Mitrione. If you want to call Brendan Schaub a former football player, then there was him. But I think in the future, because now it's starting to become so mainstream not just MMA, but also like kickboxing. Well, okay, kickboxing isn't that mainstream, but combat sports in general are starting to get up there. So I believe in a couple of years, those like really athletic people will get into MMA. Do you remember the beating that Khalil Roundtree put on Eric Anders?
Yeah.
I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of that because Eric Anders came from a different sport. He's still kind of like gaining the experience. And Khalil Roundtree has been doing it for so long. And he actually moved out to Thailand just to improve himself that much. And it paid dividends.
Watching his last fight, his Thai stance and the way he was Thai
that
boxing.
Was fun to watch.
It was insane.
I love Muay Thai style. That's really why I want to get Livy on the show so bad. I love talking about Muay Thai. Did you watch the one tournament?
No, I didn't get to see it.
You didn't get to see it? Dude, biggest upsets like all night. Except for Shin Aoki against Christian Lee. Christian Lee is their prospect, and Shin Aoki's like, I don't want to call him ancient, but he's been around forever, right? So there was a lot of blatant rope grabs, and Christian Lee actually posted off of the ropes to get a sweep. But Aoki's so crafty that he put him in an armbar. But the I don't remember what happened here, but he ended up getting out, and then he ended up finishing Aoki with invisible strikes. They had an angle. He did hit him once, but they had an angle with the follow-ups, and they all missed, and then they wouldn't show the replay again. I was listening to a podcast, too. I don't know if you know who Jack Slack is. He is one of the absolute best podcast striking analysis out there, and even he pointed it out. I'm like, finally, someone noticed it, too. Like, I like reading forums, but I find there's a lot of idiots on forums.
Yeah.
They're trolls, really.
Oh, they do some weird stuff in Japan sometimes during fights.
Yeah. Gabby Garcia.
Yeah.
What the hell is up with that? Gabby Garcia fought someone that was like 50 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Imagine Fight Quest doing that.
It was ugly. I couldn't watch.
I didn't watch it either.
No, Fight Quest would never do anything like that.
No, I'm just joking, but imagine that, though.
Imagine, yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
You lose fans. It's not right. It's not good for the sport.
What you were saying earlier about jiu-jitsu and the heel hooks and everything too, there's something I wanted to say too. DVDs are starting to be released now. For a while, jiu-jitsu was like a secret that you had to join an academy, you know, work yourself into and then learn it. John Donaher just released a system, a back system, a triangle system, a leg lock system, and I'm not sure what the other one is. Craig Jones, leg locks from down under. Mm-hmm. That's another good one.
I think Hickson even started releasing stuff too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I believe
Hickson has videos
the
out there too.
And Gordon Ryan just released his own tapes too. So one of these days I'm going to pick them up or find them on the internet. I don't condone that, by the way. I was just kidding.
It was a joke.
Dude, what happened with the UFC this morning too? What's happening with everything? It's not on TV anymore. Our cable subscription does not have
ESPN Plus
or TSN 5. And then the my source that I've been using since the deal started got taken down. So my brother ended up finding it, but like I only watched a couple fights. So
we're in tough times for watching UFC right now,
dude. I used to consider myself a hardcore fan. I feel
right
like
now pay-per-view is like the
it's
only
not your
real
fault.
I feel like a newbie now.
Well, instead of it being on Spike TV or what other stations that they were on before, they're now
on
when
Fox.
When the fights are gonna or Fox, they're not on Fox anymore.
Yeah,
they're gonna be on ESPN2 when they're on the free TV fights. We can't get ESPN2 here. And then when the main card starts or the big pay-per-views, whatever it is, it's going to be on ESPN Plus app.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, let's get it. I tried to get the ESPN Plus app. I said, it's not available in your country.
And not only that, if you were to buy it and you live in the States, you still have to pay for the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
It's not even a discount. It's like a $5 discount.
Yeah. But
so instead of the $70, it's like $65.
Our local cable's been putting on the big pay-per-views. We're getting lucky. I don't know how they're finding it, whatever they do. Keep it up, guys. Good job.
Oh, it's only the states that are that have to abide by ESPN Plus. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world can still order through DirecTV, okay. Bell Dish.
Cool.
So if Paul's Cable orders next week's pay-per-view, is next week's pay-per-view?
I believe so.
It's the one with Cerrone and Ferguson, Valentina, and...
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's a really good card though. Donald Cerrone against Tony Ferguson. Oh my god!
Wow,
that is the people's main event. No, for real. That's oh my god. Because if Tony Ferguson wins this, obviously he's like just as much of a chap as could be because he won the belt before, but he had issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
We all go through tough times.
Yeah,
but the people that get back up and put themselves back together. I have such admiration for them. Those are the true warriors. And
he might be coming back stronger than ever, which is a scary thought. But Donald Cerrone has a kid now,
and he's on a whole new yeah. He's on a whole new level now. Yeah. Like I don't know. When was the first fight? I think it was Mike Perry too. And I thought Perry was a bad matchup for him because I thought he was going to hit him with a big overhand.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do? He fucking submitted him as hard as he could. There was a still of his face just making a grimace like... Urgh. I wanted to save that picture and put it as my background, but that would have been a little nerdy.
No, that was a good clip. That was a really nice armbar.
Yeah.
Now he's got to deal with Ferguson, and that's going to be something.
Well, I've been rewatching that Anthony Pettis fight against Ferguson, and... I'm sure you've been to Levy's class where we joke about Ferguson not sparring. Apparently, he doesn't spar for training camps. Yeah, and Levy brought it up, and I was like, I just heard about that today too.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that that's the reason why he gets dropped every fight. And Donald Cerrone's pretty accurate. He likes to parry jabs, one, two to the body, hook, head kick, all that stuff. Remember we finished Rick's story?
Mm-hmm.
That was from parrying a jab, so. If Ferguson, I know Ferguson likes using those push kicks. That might be hard for Cerrone to deal with, but Ferguson does not have a good jab. So I think Cerrone could just kick the crap out of him, especially leg kicks too.
Standing, I think Cowboy's going to pick him apart, but that's if they stay standing. I could see Ferguson making it dirty, grinding him out, trying to get his takedowns, you know. But
it would be Cerrone getting the takedowns, I think.
Their jiu-jitsu is, I would say it's pretty close. I don't know who the advantage would be.
I would give it to Tony Ferguson by a smidgen because he incorporates the 10th planet system into it, which is made for MMA. Like when he finished Kevin Lee, he was he did the gift wrap. And he was dropping elbows on him, and Kevin couldn't do anything. He got bloodied up, and then he eventually got caught in... You know how you finish a triangle, the arm should be across your face? He actually finished it with his arms on the floor because he was just out of it.
Okay, yeah.
So that's how high-level Tony Ferguson is. So that's a fight like, oh my God, I'm looking forward to
that's
that.
That's the
like,
biggest fight coming up for a lot of fans. Yeah.
You're right. It is next week.
It's Holly Holm fighting it. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Holm Nunes?
No. You're right. It's Shevchenko and... Valentina is going to be fighting that night too with Ferguson and
she's fighting Jessica. Okay, that's why I forgot it.
And the main event is Henry Cejudo and what's his name?
Morales.
Morales.
Ooh, Morales. Did you ever did you guys watch him in World Series?
Yeah, I used to watch him.
Oh, yeah, Marlon Morales.
When he beat the old guy from the UFC, the guy from WEC. Don't tell me his name. He was in the UFC game too. Okay, anyways, he got cut from the UFC. He went to the WSOF with a lot of hype, and Moraes just destroyed him. And that's what made his name.
He's always been under the radar. He's always one of those guys like Justin Gaethje who nobody knows them.
Yeah.
But they can compete in the top five
on
the UFC, and we're just waiting for them. Like, when are you going to go? Get in there, man.
Yeah.
And now he's in there, and now he's fighting Henry Cejudo.
You know how, like, Montreal has, like, the feeder league Hamilton?
Yeah.
That's what, like, the PFL World Series of Fighting is to the UFC now.
Yeah.
And LFA.
Yeah.
They work deals with them. And apparently M1 Global now. They went to Russia 2 years ago, and it was actually M1 Global was part of the logo, which freaked me out because for the longest time, Dana White would not sign Fedor because they wanted the M1 Global on it. But Dana's not the boss anymore. He's just the president. what's his name? Emmanuel.
They were trying to do some stupid stuff with Fedor. His management was like, okay, well, you can have Fedor in UFC, but we want 30% of the pay-per-view. You know, stuff like that. And, you know, so.
I heard champs get $1 of every sale. Yeah. So 30% of every sale, he would never have to fight again. He could build his own country with that. No, not really, but you know what I mean. But yeah, that whole Fedor thing was so weird. I thought, at one point, Dana said that it was a done deal. Like, we have him. He's ready for it. But it was like towards the end of his career. Mm-hmm. But apparently his father died just before they made the deal, and it just fell through.
Yeah.
But man, I remember all the talk started beginning when, like, Lesnar came into the UFC. Everyone wanted to see that fight.
And Couture.
Yeah.
They made EA Sports MMA, and they both put Fedor and Couture on the cover because Couture was mad about the whole deal and everything. Speaking of video games, they need a new video game. I know we spoke about this like two podcasts ago, but I'm fiending to play a new video game.
They need games like Undisputed. Those games were fun.
I remember seeing your Facebook post. You're looking for the, it's actually my personal favorite one too, the THQ 3.
It's
Undisputed 3, yeah.
Undisputed 3.
It's the best UFC video game, hands down.
Yeah.
The graphics and the new games are obviously better, and they have all the fighters.
But the gameplay mechanics are just fun.
But the controls are whack. The old one was so... It took them a while to get it right, but they got it right.
Yeah.
Which is complicated with all the things you can do. And, I was thinking about it, and the game is so old, though. Right, so
7 years now.
I went to a couple of stores. I couldn't find it, so I put it on my Facebook, and one of my friends had it, and I got it for a good price. So
yeah,
it was great. You know, you got Pride Mode on there, where you can create your own tournament.
Yep. Yeah,
you can.
You start off in that old promotion that Boss Rutten was in with Machida.
Yeah, you got Boss Rutten. He's a commentator on there, which is funny. He's got a lot of funny lines. And the gameplay is different in Pride Mode because you can do some...
You do those flying drop knees and...
You can knee people and kick them in the head when they're on the ground.
Yeah, you can do a shogun and fly right in.
It's crazy.
Stomp, crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God. Being George St. Pierre when they have them turtles, you just knee the crap out of them.
So, you know, and then you pick yourself as John Jones, you create a tournament, and then you're going, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So the new video games... if they can change the controls, I'll go back to them.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, whatever.
I gave the first one a try, but it was too... Not complicated. It was just a little too slow for me. Like,
I just hear the games nowadays have a lot of bugs and glitches, too. You'll be trying to, like, fight a guy, and all of a sudden, like, you morph onto the other side of the cage, and you can't even, like, hit each other.
It's really weird, and the submission game wasn't perfected.
Yeah.
No,
I really like
grappling was really good.
For the Undisputed, it was really nice because, like, if you rock the guy, you had a bigger bar to cover, and it was harder for them to get out. Mm-hmm. But in this other game, you just have to, I don't know, it's just too basic to submit a guy. And we all train jiu-jitsu and stuff. It is not that easy to submit a guy.
A guy won't just lay there and let you armbar.
Exactly. And
when you're drilling it, the guy's just going to lay there and is going to let you, like, execute the armbar or triangle or transition, whatever it is. But yeah, in a real life situation, it doesn't not come that easy.
Yeah. But those fucking jiu-jitsu videos that are coming out, you're saying about, like, most people know heel hooks, but you mentioned Ethan being on a different level like that. Those videos, they you read John Donahue's, like, paragraphs on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
He talks about how there's a special kind of, like, torque and position where you need to put it in to get, like, the most out of it. Mm-hmm. So if you watch those videos or even take a lesson from him, like, that's how Ethan makes you, like, feel him. Because mm-hmm. when I first joined, like, I thought I was double jointed, and then I felt a real knee bar and it hurt more than normal. I was just like, I'm definitely going to tap that. So those videos I'm definitely going to look forward to.
Yeah, they're going to be good. But you got to get on the mat. You got to do them with the class. You know, you can't just sit on your couch and watch a video and get better.
Okay.
You got to do both, right? I'm sure.
I'll bring it to Vanna.
I'm sure he explains it in his Instagram posts.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll bring it to Vanna. One of those days where there's no fights or whatever, I'll invite a couple guys.
Smoke a cigar and we'll learn some new stuff.
Smoke a cigar, sure.
Yeah.
No alcohol for me, but cigars, all right. But, yeah. What time are we at?
We could wrap it up now.
Yeah, wrap it up now.
Yeah.
You guys got anything left to say?
Can't really think of too much. We covered a lot.
We covered a lot. But I just want to say, of all the people that really inspired me, like, obviously you watch TV, they motivate you, but someone that I knew to watch you fight, and then you were actually the first class I went to was a wrestling class. I went with my brother. Do you remember what happened?
You got hurt, didn't you?
I dislocated my shoulder the first day of class.
Yeah.
But I still went. I went every day that week. I said, screw it. You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm still going to do this. And it hasn't been a problem in like 2 years now, too. So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you played it off like you were all right. But
you kept telling, you're like, Dave, you should probably sit it out. And I'm like, screw that, man. Like, yeah, that happened when I was younger. But speaking of shoulder dislocations, Johnny Walker, man. He's such a prospect, and he hurts himself. At least when this happened to me, it was from another person trying to physically hurt me. But Johnny Walker did, like, a worm or something like that.
It was awkward, and probably, like...
Well, he wants to be one of those, like, funny guys, you know, after he's, like, post, like, victory, like, those faces he makes.
Of course he is. He's like...
He looked like he was trying so hard to be funny, but he didn't know what to do, and he ended up doing something stupid and hurting himself.
Like going full retard?
Yeah, man. It was... It was cringeworthy for sure, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think if
I've ever seen it, I'm like, did he just really do that? Like, and you just see him, like, laying on the mat, like, with his eyes, and you can see in his face, he's like, did I really just do that? Like, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Like, just, in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Thousands of people live and millions, like, through
right
pay-per-view.
After he knocked out Sirkunov, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Who does that? Sirkunov is so good, too, but he's kind of, like, going through a little rough patch. You went to UFC Ottawa like 3 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He, I don't know if it was his debut there, but he put a guy in an arm triangle, and that really opened my eyes. Because you don't see a whole lot of arm triangles in the UFC. Like, the high-level guys like Jacare will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Lesnar pulled one off, but that's because he burnt out Carwin like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so just before we wrap it up, I just want to say a couple of things. Glenn McKenzie. You're the man for finally bringing jiu-jitsu to Ganawage. I just have to really thank you for that. Also, Steph, I have to thank you too. You're definitely a part of this. And Philippi, bringing jiu-jitsu into Ganawage will improve not only the skill level, but also, you know...
It's good for the sport. You're probably going to expose a lot of people to something brand new, and it's going to ignite that light bulb, and then boom.
Exactly.
More people are enrolling in classes
exactly.
all over
and
the place.
There's a lot of youth that... I don't want to really say it, but there's a lot of troubled youth that could maybe find an outlet to express themselves in, you know? Mm-hmm. I hear that story all the time, you know?
Because it is a disciplined sport, you know? It teaches you discipline and also honor, so...
It's a true martial art.
You just don't walk into any jiu-jitsu class like, oh, I'm going to go do jiu-jitsu, bruh. Like, you know,
some people do, but they never come back.
No.
They never come back.
The coach always humbles them out pretty fast.
It's weird because they turn purple.
Yep.
They go in there angry and they spazzy, and then all of a sudden, you know, one of my friends has them turning purple. It's kind of funny.
All right, guys. So I just got to, you know,
do your little shout out there.
Yeah, man.
All right. So you know how it goes. The Combat Spotlight is sponsored by Havana Cigar Lounge, your premier spot for a great, relaxing, and friendly atmosphere with a wide selection of cigars and great staff. They also show UFC events and hockey games on their multiple big screen TVs. Havana Cigar Lounge, located on Highway 138 in Ganawage. This is the Combat Spotlight with a K today, and we had a very special guest, Brandon, and, you know, I hope maybe you become a regular in the future.
Yeah, I'm on anytime you guys want me.
Fucking right.
Thanks, guys.
So, this is David. I'm signing off.
I'm Luke.
All right. Peace out.